So we turn, please, to the book of Genesis. Once more, Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24, and we'll read from verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware, that thou bring not my son thither again. Now come on down the chapter, a long chapter, and we read, please, at verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant, heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call a damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Now turn over, please, to the book of Numbers, in chapter 10. Numbers, chapter 10. And reading, please, at verse 28. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. He said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. One last reading, please, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9. One last reading, please, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 9. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And we'll read here, please, at verse 56. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now the Lord will bless his word that we have been listening to, these portions that we have read tonight. What's upon my mind in the closing part of the meeting is to point out three appeals that we have in the Word of God and these scriptures we have read. We have read what I would call in Genesis chapter 24, the appeal of the Holy Spirit. Because the servant of Abraham, Eliezer, though his name isn't given in that portion, he's a little picture to us of the Spirit of God that is seeking a bride for Christ in the world today. And the appeal was made to this young woman to go with Isaac, a man she had never seen, whom Eliezer had described and whose father had been made known to her and all the wealth that he possessed. And the question is finally put to her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she made her mind up. She said, I will go. Then we have read in Numbers chapter 10 what I like to think of as the appeal of the saints of God. Not the Spirit of God here, but the saints of God. That's the picture that we have. It's Israel, and Moses is saying to his father-in-law, Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning his people. And that's true today of every person that is born again of the Spirit of God. The Lord has done us good, and he has spoken good of us for the future that lies before us. And we know that it's well with our soul, and we know there's an eternal glory that lies ahead. Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning his people. But Hobab said, I will not go. Then we have read the appeal, we might say, of the Son of God himself, the Savior. When he called the different ones to follow him, and one man said, I will follow thee, but first, let me. He had something else that was more important to him than following the Lord. Another one said, Let me first go and bury my father. Me first. Then I'll follow. And there's an awful lot of people today. And there's always, they would like to be saved, they would like to know that all is well for eternity, but there's always something in between. There's that which seems to hinder people from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to notice for a few minutes in Genesis chapter 24, for this is one of the most beautiful pictures in the Word of God of the appeal of the Spirit of God for sinners to come to Christ. If we were to go back to chapter 22, we would learn there a little bit about Isaac. It's very interesting, the history of Abraham and Isaac through the Word of God. It's very instructive for those of us who are Christians and believers, but it's also there's also many lessons that we can bring out of it in connection with those who are not saved. When I go back to chapter 22, I find that there was a time when Abraham took his son Isaac up into the mountain. And on the mountain, Abraham was to offer up his son Isaac for a sacrifice. God said, Upon one of the mountains I will tell thee of. And God directed Abraham to Mount Moriah. And there he is, about to sacrifice Isaac upon the altar. It seemed like a strange request. We know that as far as Christians are concerned, that request that was made of Abraham was really, it wasn't really Isaac that God wanted. It was Abraham's heart. It was Abraham's affection. And God knew that Abraham was willing to deliver his son, that Abraham was willing to do whatever God wanted him to do. We know that God didn't take Abraham, didn't take Isaac, rather. But as Isaac lay there upon the altar, and I've often thought of this little picture, what a picture of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for us on Calvary. Isaac was spared the death that should have been his upon the altar. But the one that died for our sins at Calvary, there was none to take his place. He bore the wrath and judgment of sin for you and for me. And as Isaac laid upon the altar there, just like you and I with our sin, guilty and deserving the judgment of God, and the knife was raised above Isaac that day, I wonder what his thoughts must have been just moments from going out into eternity with that knife raised above his body. And there he is lying upon the wood, and he knows he's about to become a sacrifice. Then the voice comes, Abraham, lay not thine hand upon the lad. And as Isaac is loosed from that place on the altar, and that ram caught in the thicket is taken and is put in the place of Isaac, and is lying there upon the altar, I see Isaac as he's standing back now, and as he sees that knife raised once again, Isaac is thinking in his mind, that was me, that's where I was. And he can see that knife that was raised above him. I believe every person that has ever got God's salvation has seen a time when the judgment of God was hovering over them, when like a sword that is about to pierce the bosom, like the fires of God that were to come down, that soul understands, I deserve judgment because of my sin. It reminds me of John 3 and verse 18. What does it say? For he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John 3 and 36. But then it's just like that condemnation, condemned already, is the word I was trying to think of. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, if you're not saved tonight, that sword with these words written on it, condemned already, is over your Christless soul. And wherever you go, and whatever you do, friend, condemned already is all that we can say. That's what the Word of God says. If you've never believed the message of the gospel, if you've never been born of the Spirit of God, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, then the word over you tonight is condemned already. You think about it when you go back home tonight, if you're not saved, condemned already. You think about it when you lie down and try and sleep tonight, condemned already. You think about it when you get up and try to go to work tomorrow morning, condemned already. You think about it all through the day, condemned already. My friend, that's what God said in His Word, condemned already. That's where you are if you're not saved. I believe that was the thinking, no doubt, of Isaac as he lay underneath that knife. But now here he is, and he stands back, and he sees that little victim lying upon the altar, and that knife is raised, and this time there's no voice from heaven. Isaac sees that knife plunge into the little victim's heart. He sees the blood flow down the sides of the altar, and the quivering victim gives its last quiver, and its life is gone. He says, that's what I deserve. That's where I was. Oh, friend, that's just like it was that night that I looked away to Calvary. I saw one dying on the tree in agony and blood, who fixed his languid eye on me as near his cross I stood. There, gazing at Calvary by the eye of faith, I saw that there was one who took my place upon the cross, and he paid redemption's price in drops of precious blood. But then as we come on from chapter 24, Isaac now is the heir of all things, the man that is in the glory tonight, who bore the wrath and judgment of God at Calvary. He's the heir of all things. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the Lord Supreme, my friend. And thank God one day, those who are saved are going to be part of the bride of the Lamb. We're going to be with them and like them for all eternity. But friend, if you're not saved, you'll be outside of it all. In the world, when the Lord Jesus went back to glory, he said, I will send the Comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit into the world. He'll be in the world to convict man of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's what the Spirit of God is doing today, doing in this meeting, convincing man of sin. That's what I am, a sinner. Convincing man of righteousness. That's what I lack, the righteousness of Christ. Convincing man of judgment. That's what I deserve. But oh, what is the Spirit doing? The Spirit is seeking to gather out of the people a bride for the Lamb, a bride for Christ. Abraham sends Eliezer, his servant, away off to look for a bride for Isaac. He's the heir. He's the one who's going to come into all the good of what Abraham has and all his possessions. The promises made to Abraham, they're made to Isaac. And Isaac is going to be heir of all things, the promise of the land, and the promise of a posterity greater than the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. Oh, when I think of all that lies ahead for those who belong to our heavenly Isaac, our Lord Jesus Christ, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, friend, what a glorious future lies before for those who are associated with Christ. The Spirit of God is in the world today, and he's looking for men and women and boys and girls, those who are willing to take Christ as their Savior and become united to him. That servant went to the country, and he comes across by the leading of God. He comes right to the very person that is going to be the bride of Isaac. But oh, there's hindrances in the way. If Rebecca, she's never seen Isaac. She hears all the words that Abraham has to say, or Eliezer has to say about Abraham and his son Isaac, and all the glories that he, and possessions that he has, and all that is the promises made to him, and all that. And as she listens to all these things, why is she becoming interested in that man? She's never seen him. Oh, friend, I've never seen the man of Calvary with a natural eye. But by the eye of faith, I've seen the man that gave himself for me upon the cross and shed his precious blood. And there came a moment when my heart was won to him. Though I believe that as Rebecca heard about Isaac, more and more she became interested. And finally, there was something within her bosom, her heart was taken up with Isaac. She thought, that's the man. That's the man. Oh, friend, if we could only describe the Lord Jesus Christ to you. When that question was put to her, wilt thou go with this man? I thought of that expression, this man. You read about this man so much. I mean our man, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. The forgiveness of sins through this man. This man, we read, receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Oh, the man that died upon the cross is willing to save tonight. That's why the gospel's been preached. We could say so much about this man. The thief on the cross, he said, this man hath done nothing amiss. The perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Oh, friend, this man is the man to whom I'm united tonight. There was a moment in my experience when I found him as my Savior. I trusted him. This woman, she listening to the servant, and then she sees some of the product. She sees some of the jewels and the silver and the gold and the things that Isaac possesses, and some of them are given to her as gifts. Oh, here's a little token of all the blessings that she might come into. And her heart is won to Isaac. But then, there are hindrances. Why, here she has to, if she's going to go with this man, she's going to have to leave her loved ones behind. You know, often there are things that people have to set to one side if they're going to get saved. Some people are hanging on to their friendships and relationships, and they're not willing to let them go at any cost. Oh, I tell you, friend, we're living in a sad world today. And there are people, and they're so taken up with what they have in this ungodly world, they've no time for Christ. And they would rather have their friendship and their fun and their pleasure and the things the world has to offer than have their soul saved for eternity. My friend, what a tragedy for a soul to go out into hell and the lake of fire when there's a Savior waiting to save and longing to save and able to save. Then not only would it mean losing her loved ones, it's going to mean leaving her home. She's got to decide, what am I going to do? Is this man worth leaving home for? Is this man worth leaving everything else behind for? And then the servant says, time for me to go. And they say, the family says, oh, no, not yet. At least leave her at least 10 days. Don't be in a rush to go away. And you know, there's always those who will say, well, don't get this matter settled too soon. There's a lot of things for you to do, a lot of the world for you to enjoy, and a lot of things for you to look into before you get the matter of your soul salvation settled. I want to tell you, friend, just like these gospel meetings that are going to come to an end, your little time of opportunity will come to an end. We've heard tonight and we heard the other night about the time of visitation. And I believe that this is a time, definitely a time of visitation. God, by His Spirit, has been reaching others. And there's some here tonight, and oh, I'm so afraid you're going to miss it out. You're going to miss out on the blessing. Others are going to get saved. Others are going to go, and you're going to be left for judgment. The servant said, hinder me not. We would say to you, friend, don't let anything hinder you tonight getting to Christ. Set every other notion to one side and make up your mind, I want this matter settled right now. And they said, all right, we'll put the question to the young woman. It's up to her. It's her mind that has to be made up. It's her will that has to be decided. And so they call Rebecca, and they put the question to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? Oh, friend, we want to put the question to you tonight, and we want an answer tonight. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, this man that died for your sins at Calvary, this man that is able to give you an eternal future and the glories with himself. I'll go with this man. I want to ask you in the meeting, what about your I will? Question was put to Rebecca, wilt thou go with this man? My friend, what's your reply? Young woman, no hesitation, no waiting, nothing else to interfere. She said, simply and plainly, I will go. I will go. Oh, I wonder, is there one here tonight, and that's the answer to your heart. to the man of Calvary, I will go. I will go. My old companions fare you well. I will not go with you to hell. I mean with Jesus Christ as well. I will go. You know, I believe God's salvation is just simply a matter of the will. When you know the way of salvation, when you know that all you have to do is take the place of a guilty sinner, and you found out that you deserve to be in hell, then the only answer that's left is, wilt thou go with this man? The only question. What's your answer tonight? Oh, I wonder if there's one in your heart of hearts tonight. You will say simply, I will go. I will go. That's what salvation is. I didn't use those words, but I believe that's exactly what happened that morning I was sitting at the path. So many years ago, when I saw that Jesus paid for my sins at Calvary, and all my sins were laid upon Him. Oh, I saw for the first time that that's why He was on the cross, bearing my sins. The attitude of my heart was, I will go with this man. Friend, wilt thou go with this man? I hope you answer that question in the positive tonight, because eternity is in it. It's heaven above or it's hell beneath forever, and it depends on your answer. We read about a man over in Numbers chapter 10, a man called Hobab. Another place, his name is called Raguel. He's the father-in-law of Moses. And he's heard about all the glories of Moses and the children of Israel. And he's there and he knows the prospects are wonderful. God has promised them the land of Canaan. God has made His promises to Israel, and they're going off toward the land of milk and honey that God is going to give them. And Moses is saying to his father-in-law, he's saying, come with us, and we will do thee good. Oh, friend, we can't save you tonight, but we want to appeal to you in this meeting. Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning His people. Oh, friend, what God has said for the child of God is going to come true. And the day is coming very, very soon, it might be tonight, when we'll hear the shout, and we'll be caught up to be with them, and to be like them forever. And as we were studying in our little Bible study this morning, in the book of Revelation chapter 20, that day is coming when we're going to sit with Him at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to reign with Him for 1,000 years over the earth. Oh, I tell you, there's a glorious time ahead for the people of God. There's a tragic time ahead for those who miss the Savior. Come with us. Come with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord has spoken good concerning His people. Isn't it sad? Hobab said, I will not go. Very definite, very clear, very plain. You missed the blessing. Friend, what are you going to do tonight? Are you going to come with us? Are you going to come to Christ? Are you going to take the Savior? Oh, the Lord Jesus said to different ones, follow me, follow me. One man said, he came out and he volunteered. Maybe you're one of those and you say, well, I'd like to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel that would be a wonderful thing to do, to be a Christian. He said, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. The Lord Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds in the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. You don't know what's involved, the Lord Jesus said to that man, the volunteer. I'm going to tell you, friend, tonight, we're not telling you that when you get God's salvation, it's going to be a rosy pathway. We're not telling you that it's going to be an easy road, because sometimes it costs something. It costs putting away your sins. It might cost you some of your friends. Well, you see, you could make it easier for us if you didn't tell us some of these things. My friend, you might as well know now that it's going to cost you something to be a Christian, to take sides with the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that has rejected Him and despised Him and hates Him today as they hated Him over 1900 years ago and nailed Him to a tree. The world hasn't changed. But I want to tell you, that person that is willing to take sides with the Lord Jesus Christ has the best of it now and has the best of it for all eternity. Wilt thou go with this man? Come with us, and we will do thee good. But here were some, and they said no. One said, I will follow thee, but let me first go bury my father. He wanted to do something first. He had other things ahead of following the Savior. If you got something you want to do, rather than follow the Savior, rather than come to Christ, let it go. Another one said, I will follow thee, but, and all those awful buts that come in between. I don't know what it is in your life that's keeping you from Christ. Friend, let it go. Set it to one side. Make up your mind you're going to come to Christ. Maybe you have it kind of in the back of your mind, and I've no doubt that you have, that you'd like to be saved. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. No man putting his hand to the plow and turning back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you mean to be saved, you get the matter settled now. Don't let anything interfere. I want to ask your friend tonight, whose advice will you take? Are you going to go with this man? Are you going to turn your back on Christ and miss the greatest blessing that heaven could give you? The choice is yours. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? Oh, friend, if you die without Christ, you've nothing to look forward to but the lake of fire forever. Oh, we plead with you tonight. Come with us and we will do thee good. Salvation can be yours and it can be yours tonight. Will you come? Will you trust Him? There's a Savior and He's waiting. And He wants to save you. He's able to save you. If you'll trust Him, He can be yours tonight. Let me ask you the question, and I hope it rings in your soul till you give the answer. I hope you answer it before you leave this meeting. Wilt thou go with this man? She said, I will go. So we go. Our God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to Thee and we thank Thee for the privilege of gathering again to sound out the gospel of Thy grace to fellow travelers to eternity. We acknowledge, Father, with feebleness Thy word goes forth, but we thank Thee for the power of the gospel. And, O God, we do pray that the Holy Spirit will deal with those in our meeting not saved, that in the tender wooings of the Divine Spirit there might be those who will choose Christ before it's too late. O God, we pray Thy blessing. We're unworthy of the least of Thy mercies, but we look to Thee, Father, for the sake of Thy beloved Son, whom Thou dost delight to honor, be pleased to awaken and save precious souls in this meeting. We commend us to Thee. We ask Thy blessing and give thanks. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
And no way in the voice of the Spirit that cries, what He said, give Him in our way, the conditions that arise.
Head and lifted her up, and he told his daughter, he said, the doctor says, you're not going to get better. You're dying. But she says, Father, aren't there other doctors? Isn't there some other way? He said, the doctor says it doesn't make any difference who came. There's nothing more they can do. They've done all that they can do. But she said, Father, you've got money, can't you pay somebody? Can't you save my life? He said, the doctor said, there's no way. And the girl almost fainted, lying there in the bed. She was getting weak anyhow. And the father stood back. The daughter said, Father, I'd like to ask you something. He said, when I was a little girl, Mother brought me up to learn the gospel and know the way of salvation and to get right with God. She said, when I got a little older, you told me that it was better for me to get out in the world and enjoy myself and have a good time, and I could look after that any time. She said, Father, I'm dying. She said, whose advice will I take now? That dear father, he said to his daughter, he said, for your mother's sake and for my sake, he said, for the sake of the God of heaven, he said, take your mother's advice. Take your mother's advice. It was only a few hours and that dear girl slipped out